So this is week session three. This is how can I be sure? How can I have faith? And I remember when I first became a Christian, I was looking into becoming a Christian. I was sort of searching. I remember going in the back of a church once and seeing this picture of this woman on the front of this book, and she had a hand in the air and a big white dress on, and the book was called Heaven, Here I Come. And I remember looking at it and thinking, oh, how arrogant, how does she know? How does she know she's going to heaven? You know, heaven, here I come. Like, how can you be sure? How can you know you're going to heaven? How can you know you're right with God? But the reason I had that question was because I didn't understand Christianity. I thought going to heaven was to do with how good you are, or how good you become, or being a good person. And therefore, to say I'm going to heaven, it was like saying, I'm a really good person. But actually, the opposite is true. The truth is, you go to heaven, not by being a good person, but by putting your faith in Jesus, who then changes you to become more and more like him. But actually, heaven itself, salvation itself, is a gift. And it is possible to know that you have that gift to do, actually, you know, to not be unclear about it. Not to have to say, well, I'll see what happens when I die and see how I do and see what God thinks then. But it's possible in this life to know that you're going to heaven, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you're right with God, because it's to do with faith. And this is what the Bible says. John says in his letter, I'm writing these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it because actually it's to do with faith. How can I have faith? What is faith? Well, faith is more than just saying you believe something. You know, if you knock on every door in England, most people say, I believe in this, I believe in that. But they don't really mean it. You know, I believe in God, but what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. You know, you might tick a box in a hospital, you know, I'm Church of England, Catholic. But again, it often means nothing. Real faith is to do with action. It's to do with trust. And faith begins by taking steps of faith. Years ago, there was this famous tightrope walker called Blondin, and he was in America, lived in America, and he became famous because he put a rope across Niagara Falls, 50 metres above Niagara Falls, and he actually, hundreds of people used to gather to watch him do this, and he'd start off by going across with a pole, and then he'd throw the pole, and he'd go across. He'd do all sorts of things. He'd go across blindfolded. He went across on a pair of stilts once, and he, in the middle once, he cooked an egg. He fried a little omelette and ate it. And there was this once where there was this big group of British people come to see him do it, and there was the Duke of Newcastle was there apparently. And he went up to the Duke of Newcastle after taking a wheelbarrow across filled with potatoes and then took it back. And he said to him, do you think I could take a man in this wheelbarrow across and back safely? And he said, yeah, I do, I believe it. And he said to him, well, hop in then. And he obviously wouldn't. And then he said, well, is there anyone here who will hop in my wheelbarrow? And eventually this old woman came forward and hopped in. And it was Blondin's mother, and he took her across and brought her back. She was the only one who really believed that he could actually do it. You know, she believed enough to put her life in his hands. Now, what is faith? Actually, faith is putting your life in the hands of God, in Jesus' hands, it is. To believe in Jesus means to hop in that wheelbarrow that Jesus is holding. Do you believe that Jesus can take you to heaven? Do you believe that Jesus can bring you to God? That's a question. If you really do, you'll put your life in his hands and let him take your life where it's meant to be. It's easy for that Duke of Newcastle to say, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. Well, hop in then. No, you're all right. Well, you don't really believe then. To believe is to act and to trust. That's what faith is. And it's not blind faith or mad faith. It's faith based on three definite things. just like a tripod of a camera, has three legs to give you a totally steady picture. There's three things to give you a steady picture of what faith is. One is the word of God, the promises of God. So faith is not based on feelings. You know, if our faith was based on feelings, then our faith would change all the time. Feelings change depending on what you're going through, what the weather's like, whether your bus turns up on time. You can't base your life on your feelings, although you're constantly told to. You know, every song, follow your heart, follow your dreams. Well, if you follow your heart, you'll end up in a mess. Actually, if you just do what you want and what you feels right, you'll end up going the wrong way in life. Actually, you're not meant to do that. Faith is not about feelings. It's about facts. Actually, it's about the promises in God's word. God's made lots of promises in his word, and all of them are totally reliable. Here's one, for instance, that you can put your faith in. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and live with him and him with me." Now that's a promise of Jesus. Jesus saying, look, I'm standing at the door of your life, knocking. And if you hear my voice, then open the door. You know, there's a famous painting in St. Paul's Cathedral of this scripture. It's a famous painting by an artist called Holman Hunt, which I think in the 1800s he painted it. And you might have seen it. It's of an overgrown garden gate with all ivy and stuff. And Jesus is holding a lamp and he's standing at this door knocking. And someone said to Holman Hunt, "Oh, you've made a mistake. There's no handle on the door. You've forgot to paint the handle in." And Hunt said, "Oh, no, that's deliberate. There's only one handle, and that's on the inside." Holman Hunt knew his Bible. He must have known Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't kick his way into anybody's life or force his way in. He stands at the door of your heart and mine, and he knocks. But there's only one handle, and that's on the inside. We have the handle. The choice is ours whether we open up to Jesus, to God, or not. And that's the first question I'd ask. I'd ask you, have you done that yet? Have you definitely, specifically opened the door to Jesus in your life? You know, a few years ago, I was in Latvia with Margaret, my wife. We were talking to this woman who'd recently become a Christian. And we said, tell us a bit about your life. Tell us how you became a Christian. We were sat in a flat with her and a teenage son. And she lived there on her own with him. And she was saying that, well, I was brought up under communism and atheism. Never seen a Bible. Never met a Christian. Never been to church. She said, but my husband left me. And I was bringing up my son on my own in the flat, really depressed. I was so down one night that I just cried out to anyone who might be there. And I fell on my bed crying and said, if there's anybody there, please help me. And she said, and then I fell asleep. And she said, in the morning I woke up. And as I woke up, I heard this voice in my head. And the voice said this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." So me and Margaret were listening to her and we said, what did you do? She said, I jumped out of bed and I opened my door. She said, and then I walked around the flat and I opened all the doors in the flat and I even opened the front door. And we said, and Jesus came in. She said, yeah, Jesus came in. She said, within a couple of days, I'd met a Christian. Instantly, the anxiety and fear left. I had peace. Didn't know why. But then within a couple of days, I'd met a Christian who had explained to me what had happened. And then took me to church and gave me my first Bible. And her life was absolutely transformed. She's part of the church there. She heard Jesus speak to her, saying this scripture. I'm at the door, and if you open the door. And bless her, she didn't know how to take a step of faith or pray. But she responded. She jumped out of bed and opened that door. And God saw that. That's faith. And so he came in. Instantly, the anxiety and fear and depression left. And Jesus came in. It's awesome. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. There's lots of promises in God's word, and all of them are true. You can base your faith on them. You can rely on them. You can put your weight on them. They're not thin ice. They're solid rock. You can base your life on them. They're not going to give way. They're not shifting sand like people's opinions, like in the culture is shifting sand, isn't it? People, they change their opinions about what makes families work, marriage work, life work every 2 years, because they have no idea. Where actually Jesus and the Bible and the promises in the Bible, a solid rock, you can base your life on them. The second leg of this tripod, where you put your faith, is in the work of Jesus. Not your own work, his work. If going to heaven depended on how good you were, I'd never get there. And I've been a Christian since I was a teenager, but I'd never get there. But it isn't. Going to heaven is not dependent on that. It's dependent on Jesus' work on the cross, what he did on the cross. It's the opposite of religion. Religion is do, do, do. Christianity is done. Religions do the right thing, do the right thing, do the right thing. Christianity is I have done it. That's what Jesus said when he died on the cross. When he died, his last words were, "It is finished. I've done it. I've paid the price. I've built the bridge between man and God." A little while ago, I was preaching in Hull. And you know, in Hull, they've got this bridge that crosses the river there. And it's when it was built, it was the longest road bridge in the world, actually, over the Humber. And in the 60s or whenever it was built. But then after that, obviously, there's bigger bridges in America. And nowadays, apparently, the longest road bridge in the world is in Japan. And it's so big, this bridge, that there's a motor. It goes right across the sea and links two islands together. It's so massive, this bridge, that there's a motorway station in the middle of it. It just goes for miles. Hilarious. You know, these bridges, they take decades and decades to build. And when the day they're opened, it's an awesome thing. You know, people are connected together and they don't have to get boats or fly anymore. They can cross that bridge and meet other people and all the rest. You know, there's usually a little ribbon and stuff, and people cut the ribbon. It's a big event. But you know, the biggest bridge that was ever built was built in one day by one man on the cross, Jesus, when he died. He built the bridge between God and man, between heaven and earth. And when the bridge was finished, when it was totally finished, complete, he said, "It is finished," and died. It's open. It's open to the public. I've built it. I've paid the price. And now that bridge is open. It was open then. It's open today. For anyone who wants to come to God, you come through the cross, you come through Jesus. And it's finished. You know, you're not building that bridge today. If it was religion, you'd still be building the bridge. That's what religion is. Man trying to reach God. Whatever it is, whatever religion, whatever name that religion is, they all work the same. Man trying to please God, trying to reach God, trying to be good. By avoiding certain kinds of food or eating other certain kinds of food or doing the pilgrimage or keeping the commandments or going to church or not, where it's pointless. You cannot build the bridge to God. It'll take you forever. You'll never manage it. And why bother when right next to you there's a bridge finished, a solid bridge that's open to the public that Jesus built on the cross? You don't have to go the way of religion. You can go the way of faith. Trust in what Jesus has done. That's how Christianity works. It works the opposite of religion. Imagine if you were taking your car test. And imagine if you were only allowed to take one test in your whole life. Imagine the pressure. You're going to take your test and you're sweating. And if you don't pass, that's it. You're never allowed to try again. You're stuck on Arriva buses for the rest of your life. And you're sweating and the pressure's on. And you open the car door and the inspector, you know, they're driving, the examiner's there, and he's writing on his little bit of paper. He looks like a real stickler for the law. You think, I'm not going to be able to bribe him. And you get in the car and sit next to him, and he says, "Good morning." Doesn't even look at you. He's writing on a pad, and then he finishes writing and rips a little bit of paper off. "There you are, Mr. Ruddick. You've passed." "What are you talking about? I haven't done anything yet." And he says, "I know. Good, isn't it? Welcome to the kingdom of God." You know, that's how Christianity works. That's how it works. The minute you put your faith in Jesus, the minute you really cry out to God and put your weight on Jesus and get in that car, you're saved. You're going to heaven before you ever do anything. Christianity is not about performance. And then does God help you change and live for him? Yeah, he does. Right, Mr. Ruddick, drive me through the next 50 years, will you? With pleasure. And you know what it is with pleasure? Why? Because I know no matter how I do, no matter how I drive, I've got that pass certificate tucked away safely here. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven today. I am. Not because I've travelled to different nations and preached to hundreds of people. Not at all. Because when I was 17 years old, punk rocker, I went to the cross. I went to Jesus. And that day, the minute I got in the car with Jesus, the minute I put my trust in him, I was going to heaven then, just like I am today. Nothing to do with performance. And you know what? When the pressure's off you, you drive better, don't you? Do you think I'd drive better with him watching me? Or with me knowing that he's helping me? It's different. Your relationship with God is different. Oh, he's watching me, I better be good. That's religion. Oh, he's helping me, I'm going to be good. And we make mistakes, he just helps you, puts you right and shows you and teaches you. But your life is not dependent on it anymore. Your pass certificate is not dependent on it anymore. That is the difference between Christianity and religion. Our faith is based on this. The promises of God who cannot lie. The work of Jesus on the cross that is finished. That's why this is such good news. And lastly, the witness of the Spirit. In other words, something happens to you inside. You're starting to change. And you can put your faith in that. The Holy Spirit transforms us within. We begin to change. You know, our hearts change. One guy said that if anything ever came on the telly about Jesus, he'd just go over and switch it off. He said nowadays he goes over and switches it up. And what's changing? Well, he's changing. His heart's changing. His attitude to God is changing. You might notice that about yourself. You know, in the past you'd think, who'd be sat here listening to someone talk about Jesus? Not me. But you are here. You know, I mean, that is not an accident, actually. It's not random. God doesn't do random. God knows what he's doing. And there's no one here by accident. You're here by God's invitation, actually. Because he's drawing you into his kingdom, if you want to come. He's drawing you in to himself. That's a sign that something's happening inside you. You know, our character begins to change and we spot we're changing. And that gives us faith as well and hope. You know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit convinces us that we really are children of God. We experience change and feel it different. You know, my dad used to play those balls, you know, those balls on the greens. Those balls have a bias. They have a coloured spot on one side. And whichever side the spot is, the ball will roll that way. So if the spot's on this left-hand side, you could roll it over there to the right, but it will always come over to the left because it's got a bias. Do you know what? The human heart has a bias as well towards wrong, towards sin and evil. You might start off in life determined to be really good, but you know what? Nobody is good. You can't help it. You end up going into wrong. You can turn over a new leaf, go to the gym, go to Slimming World, get a new partner, do what you want, but you've still got the same heart. You've still got the same issues. You know, you can weep in front of your wife or your husband or your kids and promise you're going to change. I'll never do it again and mean it. But you do it again. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me is me. I've got a disease. It's called sin. It's in the human heart. You can't help it. It might show itself in different ways in different lives, but it's still the same. Selfishness. Who's going to save me from that? Jesus is. How? Just like this. When you come to Jesus, this is what he does. He says, I will take out of you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'm going to give you a new heart. And guess what? It's a new heart with a spot on the other side, with the bias towards God, towards good, towards the light, towards love, towards truth, towards Jesus. It just is. So do you know what? Is a Christian perfect? Of course they're not. Do they still sin? Yeah. But what's the difference? The difference is they can't stay there anymore. The difference is you hate it when you sin now. What's changed? I used to love sin, couldn't get enough of it. Now I can't stand it. It turns my stomach. If I do sin, I hate it. My conscience goes off like an alarm bell. I want to get back to God and get right with God and be forgiven and be clean again. What's changed? I've changed. The Holy Spirit's inside me, guiding me, speaking to me. Light has come. I'm not in the dark anymore. My heart's changed. The bias has changed. So now I can go wrong, but I'll always come right again. I always come back to God, come back to Jesus, come back. That's because our heart has changed. That's the work of the Holy Spirit inside us, changing our character, giving us a new love for God, giving us a desire to read the Bible, something we'd have never desired to do naturally. Giving us a sense of forgiveness, you know, a supernatural thing. And the Holy Spirit just brings conviction that we really are children of God. And that can happen, do you know what, in a moment. You know, years ago I was in Kazakhstan, first time I was ever there. I went up in the mountains to do this sort of youth holiday thing, retreat thing they were on. And I told the story of how I became a Christian, a bit about my brother being saved from alcoholism. And there was a girl there who was massively depressed. You could see she was depressed. She had a white face and dark eyes. And she comes up to me at the end and says, "I want to know more about this Jesus." You know, she said, "I want to experience what you've experienced." And I said, "Great, well, you can." She said, "Do you know anywhere in the city where I can start to study the Bible so I can come to know this Jesus?" I said, "Actually, you can come to know this Jesus right now. You don't have to study the Bible to come to know Jesus." She like looked at me. She said, "Yes, but what I need to do is I need to go and study and take some classes on Christianity." I said, "Look, you can do that and that might be helpful. But would you like to know Jesus now? Because you can." And she said, "Yes, I would." I said, "Well, do you know what? All you need to do is pray. The Bible says to all who believe in him, all who receive him, he gives them the power to become children of God. He just gives you the power. Not those who know the Bible and study it, and now to those who receive him. Are you willing to receive him?" She said, "Yeah, I am." So I got two women who were with us. I said, "Will you just pray for this girl? Well, she wants to come to know Jesus." And they just led her in a simple prayer. She just followed them in a simple prayer. "Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Please come into my life. Please forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my sins." And she was praying this little prayer. I stepped back and just let the ladies pray for her. But I watched her face change. I watched the depression lift off, like light coming on her face. It was awesome. And just the full face lit up and all the darkness and heaviness left. And tears started running down her cheeks and dropping onto her t-shirt. And she just cried and cried and cried as she prayed this little prayer. You know what? She met Jesus. She was absolutely transformed in a moment. She was so happy. We said, do you want to come back and have a chat with us? She said, "No, I'm just going to sit here for a bit." And she sat on a little bench outside with her hands open like that, a big smile on her face. People walking past, she didn't care. I said to my mate, "I wish I had a camera before and after. I wish I took a photograph." Actually, I did take a photo. I've just found it the other day, actually. I took a photograph afterwards, and I took a photograph of while they were praying for her. But I wish I took a photograph a bit earlier, but I hadn't. But, you know, she was transformed in a moment. She'd been brought up under communism and never had any knowledge of Jesus, of God, of the Bible, anything. But Christianity is a supernatural thing, and it's there for the asking. You know, that girl knew. You couldn't tell her later that there was no God. She'd just met him. You couldn't tell her that she wasn't going to heaven. She knew she was, because she'd experienced the Holy Spirit inside. And that is how we can be sure. Now we can have faith. So it's to do with the word of God, the finished work of Jesus, and the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen.